Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai 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 Vrinda Vrinda. Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai 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 Vrinda Vrinda. Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai 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 Vrinda Vrinda. Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai 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 Vrinda Vrinda. Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai 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 Vrinda Vrinda. Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai 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 Vrinda Vrinda. Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai 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 Vrinda Vrinda. Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai 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 Vrinda Vrinda. Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai 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 Vrinda Vrinda. Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai 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 Vrinda Vrinda. Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai 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 Vrinda Vrinda. Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai 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 Vrinda Vrinda. Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai 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 Vrinda Vrinda. Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai 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 Vrinda Vrinda. Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai 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 Vrinda Vrinda. Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai 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 Vrinda Vrinda. Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai 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 Gina Nagrida. Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai 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 Gina Nagrida. Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai 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 Gina Nagrida. Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai 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 Gina Nagrida. Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai 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 Gina Nagrida. Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai Jai Shyam. Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai Jai Shyam. Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai Jai Shyam. Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Radhe. jai jai Radhe, jai jai Radhe, jai jai Radhe, jai jai Radhe. Jai jai Radhe, jai jai Radhe, jai jai Radhe, jai jai Radhe. Jai jai Shyam, jai jai Shyam, jai jai Shyam, jai jai Shyam. Jai jai Shyam, jai jai Shyam. Jai Jai Shyam, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai Jai Radhe, 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 Prabhupada, 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 Srila Prabhupada. Jaya Guru Dev, Guru Dev, Guru Dev, Jaya Guru Dev, Jaya Guru Dev, Jaya Guru Dev, Guru Deva, Jaya Guru Deva, Jaya Guru Deva, Jaya Guru Deva. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Srila Guru Deva, Jaya Jaya Gurudeva Jila Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jila Gurudeva Jaya Gurudeva Hare Jaya Baladeva Jaya Subhadra. Jaya Jagannath. Jaya Jagannath. Jaya Baladev, Jaya Subhadra, Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Jagannath. Jaya Baladeva, Jaya Subhadra, Nitai Gauranga, Nitai Gauranga. Jaya Sachinanda, Jaya Sachinanda, Nitai Gauranga, Nitai Gauranga. Jai Sachinanda, Jai Sachinanda,
Jai Sachinanda,
Nitai Gauranga, Nitai Gauranga. Jaya Radha Damodara, Jaya Radha Damodara, Jaya Radha Damodara, Jaya Radha Damodara. Radha Gopinatha, Radha Gopinatha, Jaya Radhe.
The window open.
Jaya Radha Gopinatha, Radha Gopinatha, Jaya Radhe. Jaya Radha Gopinatha, Radha Gopinatha, Radhe. Jaya Radha Sala Chandi, Radha Sala Chandi, Jaya Radhe. Jaya Radha Sala Chandi, Radha Sala Chandi, Radhe. Hariba, 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 Hariba,
Hariba.
Hari 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 Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Shri Shri Radha Damodar ki, Shri Shri Radha Kalachandji ki, Shri Jagannath Balade Subhadra Devi ki, Shri Labhakti Tirtha Maharaj ki, Solana Shri Labhakti Tirtha Maharaj ki, Shri Labhakti Tirtha Maharaj ki, Go Premanandi! Oh, glories of the assembled devotees. Oh, glories to the assembled devotees. Oh, glories to the assembled devotees. Oh, glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. Oh, glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna.
The is the microphone working? Yes. So first, I think all of our sannyasis you've met, we've had a chance to introduce, and you're hearing their wonderful classes during the weeks. But Gunagrahi Swami, I don't think he's been with us here for a while, so many of you may not quite know him, or you only know of him. So let me take a moment to introduce him. He said, just a moment. That means I'll even go more moments. I have to explain about his humility now. Ranath Maharaj is on the way, but I think he's going to be quite late. But if so, we'll bring a chair for him. So we hope you keep hearing from these wonderful devotees. Today I'm not really going to give a lecture, but I really have to, more or less, I don't know, for lack of a better word, just make a few statements of closure, and then I would like you to have chance to ask questions or to hear from each of our devotees who are sitting here. I will try to stay the whole time as long as I can. The new thing is that I have cancer all in my back and buttocks. And so just sitting now becomes so much more difficult than before. But I won't go there. The body is doing its ongoing thing of deterioration. But what I'd like to share today is in relationship to Nirjan Bhajan. Nirjan Bhajan. This is a period where one refrains or moves away or moves outside the material realm of day-to-day services as well as normal identification. So this is the last time that I'm going to give a class, mainly because of Nirjan Bhajan. Let me explain this. But before that, I'll make an announcement because I may forget later. When we do finish, then we'd like the sannyasis to come up to the Institute House and for them to take prasadam there. And I'd like to speak with them about 5 or 10 minutes before they take prasadam. And basically, this will be my last formal appearance. And for lack of a better word, this is the last time you will see me, or I will allow you to see me or think of me as Bhakti Tirtha Swami. Bhakti Tirtha Swami has left. He is 95% gone, and now he has to do what's necessary for the last 5%. See, and something interesting is happening beyond my ability to understand fully, so I will not try to explain it as if I do understand it, but I will try to share as best as I can as I'm learning, as I'm growing and experiencing. Remember, my basic posture in prayer was to experience whatever was necessary to become totally pure, to encounter whatever could help me to impact upon the society in a more, for lack of a better word, effective way, so that I could help minimize minimize suffering for a quantity number of devotees, mainly to somehow be used to make spiritual life a little more joyful, a little easier, to help devotees have a little more faith, and literally to take on sufficient karma that would allow me to take on that could remove some of the blocks of many devotees. So in my own way, as you've heard in these Sundays and previously Saturdays, I try to enter somewhat more into the mood of Vasudev Datta. I say more because this is a prayer I've been making almost ever since I was a young brahmachari. Didn't understand it then, nor do I fully understand it now, but I'm beginning to understand it. Now, my concern, from my perspective, was how to die on the battlefield. My perception of that was as to die as Grandfather Bhishma Dev, up to the last breath, to try to be sharing, hearing, learning, and giving, and to allow my life, hopefully, and most important, my process of death, to be a major amendment to the Vaishnava community. You see, in the past, we've had rather quick, transcendence. In the case of Gaura Govinda Maharaj, Tamal, and somewhat in the case of Shura Maharaj, extended period of chronic illness, but the process of the actual death experience was not quite made as public as perhaps my death experience or terminal illness. And so I fully feel its part of my service, part of my recent prayer, and part of how I end my service to Prabhupada at this time. So more than I can understand, my service to Prabhupada in this body, in this plane, in this time, in this institution here, is over. And now, what I have to do is I have to, forgive me because I don't know how to explain this any better than how I try, because one is not supposed to fully reveal their bhajan. At the same time, we have the principle of priti, and that we're to reveal our minds in confidence and receive others' minds in confidence as part of the loving exchange. Since I've tried to publicly try to love everybody, whatever that means, or to push the idea of love in terms of Vaishnava, Vaishnava is going deeper and honoring a healthy Vaishnava love, not lust, not emotionalism, sentimentality. Although it's hard to fully embrace that as long as we're in a material body, or it's hardly to fully embrace that as long as we're in the material world. But still we must make our efforts, because we say that there's no love in this world, meaning it's perfect state, but it doesn't mean that there isn't what, that this is an arena for training, it's an arena for rectification, it's an arena for what? For allowing people to engage in massive sense gratification, but it's also an arena for allowing people to use their senses to become freed from this Maitunya Gara, the shackles that bind us of lust and sex life, to be freed from the enemies of the mind, like Matsuya and Karma and Mohan and Nada. These are just some of the ways, Vaya, fear, how we go lifetime after lifetime. So maybe the best way to explain this is when karmis or religionists leave their bodies, their physical body deteriorates, and the subtle body takes the soul onto its next destination. Now, somehow or other, we are blessed, or we're high-quality devotee, or if we're eternally liberated, and we've just come into this world in disguise, then when we leave, in Nityasiddha category, it's a little special because it's so many special variables there. But let us look at the category outside of the condition state where one is going to come back in a material body. That means if one now has reached perfection, then that means the physical body has to die. But it means also, try to understand this, the subtle body must also die. It must all be left behind. The subtle body has carried us lifetime after lifetime as long as we've been in material worlds. So many impressions from many, many lifetimes are caught up in the subtle body. So many fears, so many experiences, so many failures, so many successes are all there in the subtle body. Ever since we've left the kingdom of God, Krishna Loka, we've been moving on, the subtle body carrying the soul in different environments. So what is happening now is that my physical body is just kind of hanging on because the subtle body is still hanging. Physical body is already overdue, that it should have been gone some time back. But because Prabhupada is using me somewhat as a puppet and also sharing the death experience, so it's allowing me to have this experience in a way that I can kind of communicate it and I can share it and I can leave it as a legacy as part of my service to him. And also so I can prepare many of you for when you're going to leave the bodies. We read Bhagavatam, and we hear about Maharaj Pariksit, who has only a week to live. And so we see what he does. He's in completely captivated, raptured attention in hearing. He stops eating. He is not mating. He is not defending. None of his previous concerns and obligations have any meaning anymore. Not that they were not important, not that they were not relevant while he was existing and going to continue on this planet. So now, with whatever short time I have to, for my own freedom of being able to wrap up my service and to be freed of any last lingering things in the mind, a part of the false ego especially, and part of the subtle body's identification. For those of you who are disciples and well-wishers, so that you have more time to honor my departure, because after I leave out of here, then you'll be almost forced even more to accept my departure, because only a few caretakers will see me physically or hear from me anymore in this lifetime. You hearing from me in the future will be through tapes or from reading the books, messages coming forth, or through dreams or through other transmissions that we connect with you outside of orthodoxy. So you have to, and you've heard it a couple of times, but now you have to fully integrate in the fact that we have served wonderfully together and many opportunities in different ways. We've laughed together, we've cried together, we've made offenses toward each other in different ways. We've been faithless together, faithful together. I've given many of you instructions in different ways that sometimes you didn't quite understand, and now we hope that it'll all become clear. See, for me, it's a little more difficult because I was blessed but also sort of cursed that in the kind of way I was serving Prabhupada, I had to be so much aware and attentive to secular things. And so a lot of that was a sacrifice, and that it was extending myself to preach but not always giving deep nourishment to the soul. My soul is of a certain quality by Prabhupada's and Krishna's mercy, and it remains as it is and will always be what it was. However, as I came into this world, certain coverings, certain things I and you and everyone else has to deal with. In my particular way of serving Prabhupada, I had to be very much, and you see that in my books. My books are all on different topics. My books have been accepted by all the so-called gurus in that area. And that means I didn't just write something based on material speculation, but I had to be somewhat on top of what I materially shared. At the same time, I had to be as careful as I could to remain within the Vaishnav paradigm. And I did. And where some people think I didn't, if they do a closer reading, or if they allow me to explain, or if they do a closer investigation, particularly of the lives of the acharyas, they will see that there are times when we can use secondary things, particularly if they enhance primary, and that our philosophy is that we based our understandings on Shabda Brahman 100%, but also on Anumana and Pratyaksha. Anumana is based on some interpretation, realizations, etc., and Pratyaksha is based on some level, of course, of sense perception. We do not accept Pratyaksha and Anumana as sense percent was the last word. But we do have the right, explained by Jiva Goswami, as he explains the ten pramanas. And the three, he explains, are those that Vaishnavas rely on. In my services, preaching in so many different communities and to so many different environments, I basically use Shabda Brahman and try to present it in a palatable way that the audience could respond to. And sometimes in certain groups, I relied on anumana. Certain levels of realizations were shared in different ways. Never, and I say never, did I once go outside of the Siddhanta, because if one does that, they're bogus. But at the same time, sometimes one may have an additional special commission to extend themselves through compassion and trying to reach as many people as possible. So Prabhupada allowed me to reach hundreds of millions of people, especially through the TV programs all around the countries, where I use coming in like a needle and then coming out like an elephant. I'm only saying that because that is very dangerous. It is not a normal way of how to preach or how to serve, and it shouldn't be something that people in general should rely on as a way to serve the mission. It's just like somebody does public relations, or somebody is preaching to diplomats or whatever, that is dangerous. We see how Lord Chaitanya was letting us know about the danger in Pataputra and associating with the king. At the same time, we see Pritivatiya Chayata Nagrati Gram, that every town, every village means everyone. And we see how Prabhupada was writing letters to Indira Gandhi and Mahatma Gandhi. And how when he first came, he was mainly trying to reach the academic community. Because he didn't get as much as response as he wanted from the more intelligent class of men, whatever that means, then he went out more for the masses. Anyway, Lord Chaitanya's mission, Lord Chinanda, is not considering mass or class, but for everyone. So what I have to do now is put a little extra time. Jai Sisi Radhanath Maharaj Ki. We have a chair for Radhanath. Maharaj, please come up. We're just ending what's going on here. Let's get a moment. So Maharaj, in summary, I've just explained to devotees that my little discussion today, which I'm pretty much finished, is about Nirjan Bhajan, where at some point one totally moves. Please. This is the humility of the devotees of the Lord. So, thank you so much. So, we've been talking about Nirjan Bhajan. And in essence, in 1 minute summary, I'm just saying that my conception of dying on a battlefield was more in the mood of Bhishma Dev, of to one's last breath, trying to share, trying to associate, and trying to preach. And now I'm understanding, as I deteriorate one way physically, and as the soul comes forth more, certain things become more clarified, and certain things are added on, and certain things are dropped. So this is a really horrendous time for me now, maybe one of the scariest times, because it means that I got to totally now begin to almost forget everything that I was meditating on all the time in this body, and have to now begin to be, think, and imbibe according to my original Swarup. In order to do that I have to give no more public lectures, not even on Sundays. I've already stopped any administration. I've already stopped any correspondence. Only dealings I will have with any devotees at all now on this realm, just with caretakers. And Radhanath Maharaj himself is acting as a special kind of caretaker for me right now. So he, along with the other caretakers, are the only devotees that I'll be seeing. And if I do see you, it's only because you're coming in and out of the room to bring something, or you're coming only to read or to share something in relationship to Vrindavan. Only thing I'm listening to, only thing I'm reading or allowing myself to hear is all in relationship to Vraj. And so this makes it a lot more expedient and easier to give death to the physical body as well as now to the mental, intellectual, the subtle body, which includes, unfortunately, so much of the false ego. Now we have to be careful in this line, because this is also borderlining or near embarking upon sahajiism. We see Prabhupada warn us of so many things. He warned us of the Mayavadis, or impersonalists. He warned us of the gross materialists. He warned us, you know, of the cheating intellectuals or academicians. He warned us of the smarter brahmanas. But one of his biggest warnings was of the sahajiyas. Why? Because the sahajiyas, they look so close to the real thing. They do that, that is associated with authenticity, but they do not have the adhikar. They do not have the blessings, the permission, or the spiritual potency. They are not literally invited yet fully back home, where they are in acceptance and acting in accord. And so normally, the kind of things I'm sharing, just as my service unorthodox, and so where I'm sharing is also unorthodox, and I'm trying to qualify it. Without going outside of revealing one's bhajan, but at the same time, since Prabhupada is using me to give a major education or service to the Vaishnavas about our leaving this body, and so my departure has been so public, and so therefore, up to my last breath will be public. I will die on the battlefield, but not in relationship anymore to Bhakti Tirtha Swami, Swami Krishnapad, John Favors. That is all in the past now. So if you do come up, or we ask you to come, or one of the caretakers asks you to come to read, understand you're coming in and you're reading some pastimes, and that's it. No discussions about anything else. And if you do, I will 99% not respond anyway. If for some reason, if I feel that I need to say something to you, and I break a little bit of my pattern, then I will do that, but I will kind of hurt myself in the process. Just like the other day, I had already started thinking this way. I didn't know I was going to have to make it so public or make it so official. But the other day, I called in some of the Guru Kulis, Gopal and Vrindavaneshwari and family. They were doing the bhajan, and I just so much appreciated this whole family of Guru Kulis of just chanting. The chanting will still go on 2 times a day, and let me let you know that I appreciate it so much. And even though you don't see me when you chant, because you're chanting outside of my room, so therefore, whatever I'm doing inside, I'm doing inside, as it may be. Because sometimes I'm literally crying like a baby, and sometimes I'm just so happy as I am now. I'm very mixed right now. I'm extremely happy. I mean, imagine at this point, if you were in the shape that I'm in, just put away the sickness and all the amputations and all this other stuff I've gone through. And imagine that the last days of your life you've had chance to serve the Vaishnavas by increasing certain devotees' faith and by getting their prayers and their blessings. And now you're being revealed your original services in the spiritual world, and you are having the chance to allow that to grow and to unfold, where you're able to experience gradually the spiritual world before you leave the physical or the subtle body. So wouldn't you be really happy knowing that it's all over and it's just a matter of moments or a short time? Because whatever it is, these are moments in terms of spiritual time. But knowing that even in material time, There's only a short time, and your life is over from having to take any more tests, from having to go through any more struggles, and that you have done basically what you had been sent to do, and maybe you didn't do it perfectly, but that you had done it in a way that had pleased your spiritual master. Wouldn't you be happy like anything? So that side of me is just, I mean, amazingly happy, because I've been given so much more mercy and facilitation than my quality. And I needed it, and I wanted it, and somehow it has come. Now the other side, of course, is imagine that you got tumors all over you, you got arthritis, you got diabetes, you're not sleeping, and you've been very active and you're not active anymore, and your whole life has been basically activity, even before I was a devotee, especially as a devotee, constantly active and planning and preaching and moving about. And all of a sudden, you're confined to a room where you have to be on your side most of the time because you can't even sit up. You got a broken collarbone that may break any day, and you lose full control of the arm. Anyway, you can go on that side. That side is horrible in many ways. But still, what I'm experiencing is token to what one would normally experience with the kind of cancer that I have at the state that the cancer is. I've just lost a lot of weight, lost a lot of muscle and bone in a lot of places. But still, somehow, everything is going on. Now, with that other side, and now you are entering into a situation where you're not gone yet, but you won't be able to relate to those who normally kind of give you a certain strength to keep on going as you're going in your physical state. So it's almost like a total situation where you're being thrown into the water, and so you drown or you swim. So we're stopping everything that would be part of orthodoxy. And so now it means I have a mental breakdown and get angry at Krishna and Guru and forgive me this kind of disease causing me to have to suffer like this, and forbid that would never happen, because you won't let it happen. Your prayers have already stopped that. Then the other side, of course, is having the knowledge of all of you and all the amazing devotees all around the world who you serve with, and knowing that the same Krishna who has reached out extra way to help me and Guru can and will do the same for you, and knowing that at some point we can all be back in the spiritual world serving. So I think you can get a little bit of idea of the duality that I'm dealing with now. Scary that I have to make this kind of abrupt situation without fully being able to experience the higher realms. I'm connecting, but not fully experiencing. And it's like jumping and not knowing if you're going to fully be caught. But the faith is there, and the faith allows you to jump. See, it'd be easy if I'm at this situation now, and I'm hearing Krishna's flute, and I'm fully 100% aware of where I'm going and all the details. Yes, I'm aware, and some of the details are unfolding, and some of the impressions are unfolding, but not fully. And so it's like that. Again, kind of a little bit, kind of an ambiguous and limbo situation. I just wanted to read one quote in reference to this, or maybe two, and then what I'm going to do is maybe 5 or 10 minutes, I'm going to take personal questions that you may have for me, just based on what I've just said. And then after that, then we want to receive questions from the floor that all of our sannyasis can be able to address. I want to take advantage of their being here. If it wasn't for my statement that I had to make today, I wouldn't have even spoke at all. I would have wanted you just to be able to hear them. But most of them will be around for a few days, or have been around, so you are hearing their classes. And only you unfortunate ones who only come on Sunday, then you are bereft, because most of the time you're just hearing me. So, you know, go beyond the Sunday visit if you can, and try to come. Now, this also means that those who were basically around, because they were around to hear me speak the little I do on Sundays, that's over now. And I'm not just saying that, and then three weeks later, I'm going to be speaking again. First, I don't think I'll be here 3 weeks later, but even if I was, no, this is final. This is an order that I've been given, that I've accepted, and now I have to follow it. If I don't follow it, there'll be heavy consequences. If I don't follow this, then I'll go through kind of more of a normal physical breakdown of departure, where the body and all the organs just break down. And then finally the soul cannot tolerate anymore. And those connected with the soul just have some special pity and just snatch you out. I'm trying to align myself in a way that I'll be able to leave far before that. And this has come about because I somehow couldn't understand why I was still here when my time was already over. And as this physical body is dying, and now the mental body is dying, and I'm understanding it, is that more of the mental body I had to be broken, but also I had to help everyone to understand a little better that it is important to die in Vrindavan and Mathura, and Mayapur and the holy dhams. And it is very important to have very deep sadhu qualities. It's very important to detach ourselves from just the normalcy of serving. We serve, and that is important, but the service attitude and the conscience is more important. And so it seems that if I would have left somewhat earlier, this last aspect would have been missed a little bit, because I'm not leaving in Vrindavan, and I'm not leaving where I'm having 24-hour kirtans all around me, or where you know an hour, 2 hours before I leave, which most cases, most likely, you won't. And so therefore, I have already gone in one sense, and now you're being informed of what I'll be doing until I leave. In other words, to go back to the spiritual world, we have to become like the residents of the spiritual world. And sometimes we can be pulled out the body, and whatever is left hanging, then the guru helps to take that away. So it's like if there was anything hanging with Tamal or Shuramaraj at the time of death, which may or may not be, but it doesn't matter. But the point is, the spiritual master, ready to receive them back in the spiritual world and engage them in other services there, as well as in other universes, it was on him to take away whatever was left. My meditation and dying on the battlefield was in that way. I've already seen how much mercy is so powerful, and seen how mercy has extended itself beyond my quality. And I expected, basically, I was going to preach pretty much until I drop, and then whatever else was left, it would just be wiped away. And that's why up to just very recently, I was still doing radio and TV, radio and other things by phone, and still trying to do these classes. And anyone who come, I would practically, especially my God brothers and God sisters, I would make myself available, and I would talk to them. But now you see, I can't even do that, because pretty much talking to any of my God brothers and God sisters even is still in our relationship to service to Prabhupada on this plane. And so that has its own subtle way of reinforcing My identity is Bhaktitirtha Swami. So I'll read this. You remember how I shared earlier how Bhakti Vinod, he faked sleep paralysis. And it was a couple of years that he was in, you know, Nirjan Bhajan, just living as if he was already in a spiritual kingdom. He, as much as he was available with writing his books and managing and counseling people on an individual basis, that at the end, he faked being totally, you know, debilitated physically so that he would be in that state. Did he have to do that? We don't know. As such a high-level pure devotee, never conditioned. But all of these are examples for us in such ways. We see that Lord Chaitanya, that how many years did he actively preach and stay in the physical body? He left very young. But then we see so many of those years, he was with who? Just a few intimates. Who? Swarup Damodar. Who else? Ramananda Roya. Okay. And then we hear about Sikhi Mahidi or his sister. But we see primarily with Ramananda Roya and Swarup Damodar. Now he's God. He didn't have to do any adjustments before he's going back. But we see that at a particular time, his mission in terms of his travels and being available to the society and the world, that it came to closure. And then he entered more and more with these special servants who facilitated that state of awareness and that state of taste. And so, in our own little way, Prabhupada's arranging now for me to enter into that phase and to have a few caretakers who are mainly just doing things with my physical body and some reading, as we said, and Radhanath Maharaj will be also facilitating as a special caretaker, where we will basically be blissed out, for lack of a better word. But I really want to thank all of my servants. There were some of you who, during this lifetime, assisted me as personal servants. And you know me in a way that some others don't, because you got some heavy, heavy chastisement from me. And you knew on a day-to-day basis that smile I give is just a facade to get you ready for the sauce. And you've seen me as a workaholic, and you've seen me impose upon you and make you a workaholic, where basically those who serve me as secretaries or servants, most of the time, you are not able to be regulated in your eating or your sleeping. And as I explained to a few later, I saw you as an extension of me. And so while I was very kind and very seemingly aware of others' needs, it seemed like I wouldn't be so aware of your own needs because I identified you so much as part of me. And so as I minimized so much of my own eating and sleeping and other things, material comforts, so it wasn't that I thought less of you or had a double standard. It's that that's how much I appreciated you and how much I used you. And I thank you so much for that. I especially thank, and I'll thank them when we leave, the sannyasis as such. Let me just read this to you. I'd like to read a few quotes on this and then I'll stop. This is Bhaktisiddhanta speaking. My dear mind, what kind of devotee are you? Simply for cheap adoration, you sit in a solitary place and pretend to chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. But this is all cheating. So here Bhaktisiddhanta is warning that this can also be done prematurely. It can be a cheating process where you try to do such, but you do not have the adhikar, do not have the connection, and therefore the mind just goes in sense gratification. Remember a case in Mayapur where there was this devotee, an African-American devotee, who used to be president of Kenya Temple. At one point, he came to Mayapur. I think his name was Shyam Das. Krishna bless him. And he established a little, bhajan kutir. And he wasn't eating. And just hold this for me. And he was just chanting all day long. So many devotees would come. They'd be very impressed of how austere he was and how fixed. And Prabhupada wasn't very impressed. Then we saw later, that he blooped. So, again, a case of entering into and not having the blessings or the permission. Or remember the case of one devotee from Chicago who also was thought to have terminal illness. He's the only devotee in the movement that Prabhupada gave the title of Babaji. I think we remember him. Adu, what's his name? Udaloma Adama. So that devotee, he thought he was going to die. The doctors gave that, prognosis or diagnosis. So he went, he was initiated by Prabhupada and Babaji, put on Babaji cloth, went to Mayapur. The idea was to chant unto death. Or was it Vrindavan? Was it Mayapur? I think Mayapur, huh? Yes. And then later he found out that he wasn't terminally ill. And he, of course, abandoned his Babaji cloth, his japa mala, his name, title, and even his identity as ISKCON devotee. And hopefully he's come back around to associate sometime, but somehow he left. So it shouldn't be that we do this as a way of running away, as a reactive mode. We don't do this because we are just disgusted with material body or disgusted with our sickness or whatever. Or we want to show how advanced we are. Anyway, I'm just reading this so that there's some balance as we carry this with us. One other reading in relationship to Srila Prabhupada. This is from Prabhupada, Bhagavatam 4, 28, 33. Thus Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur advocated that every devotee under the guidance of an expert spiritual master preach the bhakti cult, Krishna consciousness all over the world. Only when one is mature can he sit in a solitary place and retire from preaching all over the world. Following this example, the devotees of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness now render service as preachers in various parts of the world. Now they can allow the spiritual master to retire from active preaching work. In the last stage of the spiritual master's life, the devotees of the spiritual master should take the preaching activities into their own hands. In this way, the spiritual master can sit down in a solitary place and render nirjan bhajan. So, whenever the spiritual masters leave, and I'm going to end with one and a half other short quotes. But whenever the spiritual masters leave, there's always confusion. There's always a certain amount of chaos. Because one, there must be. If there was potency in the spiritual master's existence, his mission and what he carried, just like when Krishna left the planet, we see even Arjuna couldn't refrain from being defeated by just a common warrior. So obviously that there are certain things that go on by the presence of the guru. It's like some cases when Prabhupada left, we thought that we were responsible for some of the things that were happening. And in some cases, some of us fell down because so much of our ability to do something was based directly on not only Prabhupada's blessings and wishes, but his presence as we were serving him. And so when he left, it put us in a situation of destitution, desperation, but most important, a time to take up the mission with more sincerity and determination than ever before. It gave us a time to now to feel that we had to take on a burden. Just like if you saw your spiritual master or someone going up the staircase with a big bundle of something, a couple of boxes or a couple of bags, you would naturally be drawn to quickly to come and to take as many of the bags as you could, taking a burden on yourself happily and enthusiastically. So when the spiritual master leaves, so many devotees will have chance now to take on more responsibility and will have chance to become deeper in their realizations and even empowered as the call of duty is there and Krishna has no favorites and therefore is ready to facilitate whoever is ready. After Prabhupada left, so many devotees who normally may have been taking things more for granted or just taking more direct shelter under Prabhupada, when he left, then they had to go deeper and understand our Vaishnava heritage, to go deeper and connect with other also acharyas and how Prabhupada represented them. Many began to learn the basic languages of Sanskrit and Bengali, etc., so they could read the books in the original language and make the message available so that more and more books would still be available. So in some ways, we would not have grown as we did if Prabhupada would have remained. At the same time, some devotees, just months after Prabhupada left, they also left the movement. So in my case, I don't expect much confusion because you've had chance for months to prepare. We've signed several documents and wrote several things of clarification, even up to the samadhi arrangements. I've even picked out my own urns, what's going to be used. I wanted to do that myself. That's just my nature of control. And the different departments, as many things have happened based on departments, here as well as other parts of the world, we just expect you to now to go on with what you've been taught a little bit by me or by me. And most important, your duty to the mission of Prabhupada's special offering to his guru and to the world, that you take even deeper shelter of your grandfather. You study the life of the acharyas even more, and that you make your shiksha connections stronger, or you make those connections formal. That you shouldn't just think that you can go on in your devotional service without more personal kind of guidance. You can get that more from your shikshas. So each of you should, disciples and well-wishers, you should be connecting deeper with devotees like you have here, or other senior devotees that inspire you, make that deeper connection. Was it before I read the last two? And then I'll stop. I don't think I ever introduced Gunagrahi. I mentioned, but I didn't, did I? Did I introduce him? So, Gunagrahi, others of you all know, Gunagrahi probably mentally tried to block me. But don't forget, I'm a little different from when you saw me last. I got more mental energy now. that my body is weaker. So you weren't able to stop me completely. And he's so humble. So Maharaj has been serving in so many enlivening ways. You see this djembe drum he has. He has helped to bring more of the djembe presence into ISKCON. So if you love djembe and it makes you move and enthuses you, then you give a lot of respect to Maharaj. If you have a problem, that, hey, this kind of thing is not Vedic, then you also give respect to him. That he's not to be put into a box. That he realized that all music belongs to Krishna. And all instruments are ultimately connected with Krishna. And so he's giving back a certain kind of instrument to be used in glorifying Krishna. He's done this in the Krishna Fest. A wonderful group of devotees he would organize. And the Pandava Senas and others and the younger devotees, Guru Kulis, they especially loved it or would love it if they hadn't experienced it. But a group of devotees who, you know, who knew how to jam and be Krishna conscious at the same time. And so he you know, Maharaj is, you see, a musician, and he is offering that service back to Krishna. The other day, one devotee from New York, 26, I'm sorry, the temple, the Brahmacharya Ashram, I don't know his name, forgive me, but he came here just to make pizza for me and some of the members of the community. And I think he was trained up by Kastuba. And I was thinking, pizza, yeah, but if you really want pizza, you just have to be with Maharaj and to be with some of his devotees who can make real pizza like you've never had before. When I go to Argentina, an integral part of my siddhanta, of my sadhana when I go to Argentina, is to very meticulously and conscientiously and mindfully to have a half a day of just eating pizza. and we literally do that. They make it so thin and so nice, then and they keep it hot, and they just bring it in, and you just eat. You eat, and you talk, and you talk and talk, and then you eat and eat. And then you eat and talk and talk and eat and eat and eat. Until you get to a point that you're just exhausted because you've chewed, your mouth is tired, even though your stomach still wants more. So somehow this devotee, he almost matched Maharaj's pizza. So it made me think of him, and I had no idea he was coming. So today I'm so happy to see him. And then Yudhisthira also came in, and he made pizza for us. Here I'm a dying man, and I'm talking about pizza. I'm supposed to be talking about Vrindavan. I could at least be talking about, you know, pakoras and samosas and, you know, sabji and rice and dal. But I was so much that kind of preacher that I even had eating styles adopted to that. And so what did I like? Burgers and french fries and pizzas. So even though I will be thinking only about Vrindavan, cooks, as long as I still have an appetite. You know, at one point, when I was doing the radiation and the cancer was growing really fast, I had no appetite. But somehow, in the last week and a half, I've been able to have an appetite. I've been able to eat, you know. And so, even though, you know, we'll make the mano vrat, or we won't talk about hardly anything. It's only Vrindavan we'll talk about. But you can still bring the burgers and the pizzas. And if I die because it's not good for my digestion, then it's prasadam and I will die enjoying myself to death. They'll come back in to get my tray, and my face will be over. I have ice cream on this side. A little chutney on this side. And I'll say, well, Maharaj died on the battlefield. He lived up to his words. So Maharaj, we thank you so much for being here. And maybe tomorrow, not maybe, but tomorrow morning, he can give the Bhagavatam class. And we want to... And the rest of the sannyasis and God brothers and devotees in general who are here, please take advantage of your associating with each other. One of the beautiful things about festivals, anytime that a large group of devotees come together, that it's a chance that we can have, you know, quality sangha. And again, those who have to leave will be more prone to leave now. And that's okay. It's no problem. Have no regrets or whatever. Sometimes we think we have to be there when, you know, our beloveds, you know, leave. But as long as we're there in consciousness, that's what's most important. So let me read these last two quotes. While Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thus resided at Jagannath Puri, he was continuously overwhelmed night and day by separation from Krishna. Day and night he tasted transcendental blissful songs and verses with two associates, namely Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Roya. He relished the symptoms of various transcendental emotions, such as, and he, just listen to these symptoms that Mahaprabhu relished in that state of confinement. Jubilation, lamentation, anger, humility, anxiety, grief, eagerness, and satisfaction. Of course, this is not mundane anger like we may experience, but we see that all these emotions ultimately come from Krishna anyway. He would recite his own verses, expressing their meanings and emotions, and thus enjoy tasting them with these two friends. Sometimes the Lord would be absorbed in a particular emotion and would stay awake or awoke all night reciting verses and relishing their tastes. So we see what Mahaprabhu, who was not different than Krishna himself, who was Radharani or Krishna in the bhav of Radharani, being the perfect example of devotee, and how he lived, how he gave, and how he left. Okay, the last one. In 1977, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, at the age of 82, suffered illness repeatedly. So don't think that a devotee doesn't get sick or doesn't suffer. Suffer illness repeatedly. But their suffering is not quite the same, because of how they directed toward Krishna, how they accepted, and became in a physically weakened state. He decided to discontinue his traveling around the world and take shelter of Vrindavan Dham, the sacred place of Lord Krishna's pastimes. He listened and chanted Hare Krishna day and night. However, Srila Prabhupada remained in the association of who? Of his loving disciples who assisted him during his final pastimes by chanting very softly and sweetly the Hare Krishna mantra 24 hours a day. Srila Prabhupada said that this was his Nirjan Bhajan. At that, his sannyasi disciples, including the translator of this work, had to take over the responsibility of traveling and preaching all over the world. As he would not be able to travel anymore, this great spiritual master had taken shelter of Lord Krishna in Vrindavan during the last days of his life. So I'm beginning to feel too much pain now, but I want all of you to take advantage of the devotees who are here. But at the same time, I'm going to open up just for myself for 3 or 4 minutes to maybe take just 2 questions. And then after that, any questions you may have had for me or in general, these devotees have more than enough devotion and love and compassion toward you and realization and blessings from Prabhupada to be able to handle your questions. So if there's 1 or 2 short questions just for me, I'll answer those, and then we can take a 1 minute break while they take me out. You can chant the Sringade prayers and you stay at least for half an hour, 40 minutes, if longer if you like, and you have a chance to hear from them. Because some of you only come Sunday, and so you won't be able to be around for their classes later. If you're wise, you will try to hear more longer. There's enough prasadam for everybody. And if there's not, just beat up the cooks. So they'll never do it again. You just give them a good beating, huh? Tell them your guru's dying. We should be in a festive mood. This is victory time. He just revealed that he's been invited back, and we all should be rejoicing. And you didn't come this far and have to drive so far to have a few, let me see, chickpeas. So, cooks, if you haven't made enough, you better have some mystic power to make the food multiply. Or you're going to have 300 people jumping on your head. Okay. Please. Is there a microphone we can pass the mic? I purposely allowed him to speak. As you know, several times I've said I have a very special affection or appreciation for our Guru Kulis, second and third generation, because it's a sign that our movement has a good future. When the children of the parent, when the parents bring these kids into the world, and then they say yes. It's like when I broke a little bit of my etiquette and brought the Guru Kulis in. One of the things that was overwhelming to me is that Vrindavaneshwari's little baby, little girl, who's only, what's her age? She's 3 years old, and she was leading the bhajans, you know, doing their period. She was leading some of the bhajans. And I was just amazed. There was a whole family, you know, just all a family, a biological family of Guru Kulis, and then a third generation, little girl, 3 years old, and she's leading the bhajans. That was overwhelming. Nandu?
Thank you very much. My question is that you're telling us that you're leaving, but we understand that you're never going to leave us. So I just want to understand, how do we understand this point that you're leaving, but you're never actually leaving us?
Could you all hear him? So he's saying, I'm leaving, but we hear that a Vaishnava never dies, and we hear that the relationship between disciple and guru is eternal. So in one sense, it's like I'm saying to all of you, bye-bye, I'm out of here. You got to stay in the prison now, and I'm out of this prison, I'm gone. It's nice knowing you working together, brother. Hoodie bow. No, it's not like I'm leaving you behind, or that the connection really changes, you know, that much. It's just that physically, I'm going to a different space. Just as I was with you in England, and then I left and went to, I don't know, Croatia, Russia, and then came to America. So So we were still in touch, but in a different way. When I was with you in England, you were bringing me to Prasadam, we were talking, you were helping me with email. And so there was a certain way how we related and served. And then when I left and went to other places, you still knew I was your guru, and you had services and I had service, and you still knew we were all blessed by mercy of Prabhupada, you know, to serve his mission. You still knew that you had so many uncles and aunties and God brothers and God sisters, and just an amazing realm of support, of solace. So you had to look at it, you know, more in that way. Is that now you won't be able to, you know, bring the prasadam to me, or do the emails, or get the direct chastisement in the physical, but I'll still chastise you. So some small shift is there. But still, and we look at this, we think of the Goswamis, and we see how they were so sad, and so to a certain extent, when, you know, one of their colleagues left. At the same time, you know, they're eternally connected. And at the same time, especially on, you know, their particular level, they're always so conscious. But still, we look at, you know, Srinivas and you know, so many cases we could cite of how they were, you know, it was overwhelming. And so similar. Well, when Prabhupada left, it was overwhelming. But his mission goes on, and every day we can connect with him deeper if we want to. You see, I feel like I've connected deeper with Prabhupada after he left in some ways than even when he was here. Even though he, you know, gave me some amazing blessings and spoiled me in different ways while he was here. But I realized I connected deeper with Prabhupada through certain dreams or revelations, and also through certain ways of how my God brothers and God sisters explain some of their realizations and meetings and associations with Prabhupada. It actually gave me more Prabhupada's association than even sometimes physically being in a room with Prabhupada, hearing his lecture, etc. Okay, the last question. Okay, I'm trying to see if there's any other Guru Kuli. So no other Guru Kuli. So we'll take devotee here. So hi, Dave. One of my oldest disciples from Africa, from Ghana. He's helped me so much there in a very difficult place. And now he's come to be a prisoner of Radhadamodar for a while. So he loves to give the, you know, the guru stumper questions.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
And if I can't answer it, then I'll tell you. I'll answer it for you in a dream. All right.
Since the inception of ISKCON, the few gurus who have departed physically were all put into samadhi without being cremated. But I learned you giving an instruction that when you do leave your body should be cremated. So yeah, just, may you shed a little light
sure.
on this?
Just in brief. There was a letter put on the BT Swami list explaining this. And it mentioned several things. It mentioned how, you know, it's not unique. Is that several of the acharyas and Goswamis, you know, they were, you know, cremated also. I think even Bhaktivinoda was cremated. We have confirmation of that from some of our scholars. Yeah, even Bhaktivinoda himself. You know, he was cremated. Because of the laws here in the West, you couldn't put me in, you know, in full samadhi here. And because I wanted to have presence here, And at the same time, presence in Mayapur with our international center and our one of the most biggest projects in our home and with other God brothers. So there'll be a push for samadhi here, and the actual ashes will be taken, will be taken to Mayapur. So the devotees already have their plans of the samadhi, and Bhatti Chumaj, I think, was giving some ideas and some help and facilitation about the samadhi. So all of those things have been pretty much worked out. Okay, we take the last question. Okay. I said only two or three, so this is the third one.
Gurudev, how can we position ourselves so that we can get...
Go ahead. Hold it up.
The full mercy and benefit of what you're taking on for us.
Of what's the last thing? So how we get to take full advantage of, you know, what the spiritual masters try to give us. You take full advantage of it. How do you eat? You just eat. And you digest as best as you can. How do you take anything seriously? You have to have more appreciation of its value. You have to also have more appreciation or fear of what happens if you don't get it, if you don't have it, if you don't use it. How do we stay out of Maya? We have to have more fear of Maya, but we also have to have more appreciation of what the goal is, and more appreciation for Sadhu, Guru, and Shastra. So we take more shelter. And how do we do that? That's all through the ninefold process. So that's the whole process of Krishna consciousness, of somehow having everything that's necessary for going back to Godhead. And now we have to take advantage of it. So your question is a nice question for me to exit on, and for me to make my last formal public appearance. Next time you see this body, for many of you, I guess it'll be when you're putting it in some type of samadhi, or you're doing whatever you do before you go to cremation, those who are here, or with those who come up and read, or do the bhajans, like that. So let us be happy and fully thrilled that we were able to serve together. Let us be fully excited about how we continue this service. Let me beg for your blessings and prayers that as I go through this last shift, that I can do it in a way that will help you more and will give more pleasure to my spiritual master. As I said, this is a very difficult situation of this shift. At the same time, I gave you a little glimpse of the excitement that's there as well. I thank Prabhupada so much for allowing me to be used in this way, and I beg his forgiveness for the fears and the reluctance and the procrastination sometimes that basically my mind would have. I still try to give in as much as I could. Obviously, some imperfections were there. I thank him so much for allowing me to minimize some of your sufferings. Some of you would have encountered a lot more difficulties in your own spiritual journey, and some of that's going to also be eliminated by you looking deeper now at the process and being less distracted by just basic issues that's going to be there. Some of you now will try to have more quality sadhu sangha with others. This is we're being forced to, as Prabhupada's disciples go. We don't know who is going to leave next. So now as we associate at festivals or meetings or look at each other, we share so much deeper heart connection because we are warriors on the battlefield who can become casualties in different ways due to old age sickness, and sometimes somebody can bloop. We can look out and realize the amazing variegated family Prabhupada has given us. And we realize this could not just be this could not just happen by ordinary arrangements. This is due to all kinds of divine showering of blessings that so many souls during Kali Yuga at this time can, you know, say yes, yes to Krishna. So you keep on trying to say yes, even though I would go into my thinking of Vrindavan, still I'll be thinking of all of you in the mood of us joining up together serving. I won't be able to think of you in terms of our present services anymore or our present environments of struggle or our present field of activities. So I hope the way I shared this did not break etiquette. I pray deeply before speaking this so that I could... So I could try to give you the best of what I could possibly offer with what limitations that I have. So I could be as honest as possible and let you see my happiness and excitement as well as my timidness about this. So I pray to Prabhupada that I didn't say something that may cause your mind to be even a little more confused. I'm not deserting you. I'm not abandoning you. I've just been called to do other services. And since I made myself available, I volunteered, so now I have to be ready to do those services. I don't know exactly all the details or specifics of what I may go through now, but I do understand Divya Mata is that there is madness and there is divine madness. In order to really break all the necessary shackles, then one has to enter into a divine madness. The sweetness of "I'm all yours, Krishna, and you're all mine." A sweetness that goes beyond any level of love we've ever encountered in this lifetime. A sweetness that goes beyond any kind of protection that we've ever wanted. It's much greater than that. And a sweetness that's of activities that are far beyond the way we normally try to engage ourselves and seek for pleasure. So I'm eager for that and ready for that. And I thank you all for helping this to be accessible for me, because I can never be put in this position if it wasn't for special mercy from Guru and Sadhus. So, Hari Bol. Okay, you can chant Namaste, and I'll see the sannyasis after they finish. Maybe when you come up to the Institute House, just before you take prasadam, I can say my last adieus to all of you, and beg that you put your foot on my head. And if you don't, you'll be refusing a dying man's request. So I put you in a difficult position. Somebody else? Somebody can chant Namaste. Who's?
Namaste.
Hand him the microphone.
Namaste Nada Singhaya.
Namaste Nada
Singhaya. La 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 ne. La 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 Hiranyakashi purvakshah Hiranyakashi purvakshah Shila tanga la kala aye Shila tanga la kala aye Ito nasingo parato nasingo Yato yato mitato nasingo Yato yato yamitato nasingo By anything, 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 Kamalavare nakamadbhuta shingam Dalita hiranyakashipu tanubringam Keshavadrita narahare rupa jay jagadishahare Jay jagadishahare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Tava Karakama Lavare Nakama Bhuta Singham Dalita Hiranyakashipu Tanubhingam Keshavadita Narahare Dubha Jai Jagadisha Hare Bolo Keshavadrita Nama Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Avadrita Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Hare Jaya Nasir Jaya
Ashinghade, Jaya, Nashinghade. Guru Dev, Dev, Guru Dev, Jai Guru Dev. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Nitai Gaura Haribo Haribo Shila Bhakti Tirtha, Shila Bhakti Tirtha. Shila Bhakti Tirtha, Shila Bhakti Tirtha, Shila Bhakti Tirtha, Shila Bhakti Tirtha. Nitai Gaura Haribo.
Hawaii. And Srila Prabhupada, after giving his Srimad Bhagavatam discourse, he said, any questions? I said, Srila Prabhupada, I said, I have a problem with envy. I said, I'm envious of my God brothers and my God sisters. What can I do to absolve this disposition? Prabhupada said, stop being envious of your spiritual master. But at that time, it seemed too simple. And I asked, please give me some more information, because, in fact, in my heart, I want to get rid of that nasty thing. So please tell me something that can help me.
Radha Swami wants me to say a few words, then I'll pass the microphone along. The Vaishnavas are decorated with so many good qualities. So if we're envious of them, then we can't associate with them properly and imbibe those good qualities. We're envious of them because of their good qualities, but that envy is preventing us from imbibing them through their association. So we're defeating ourselves. Another way to understand that is that as Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, one can give up all one's material desires, but the desire for fame is the most difficult to give up. The desire for fame is the most difficult to give up. So, envy is very much connected with that desire for fame, because if someone else is famous, that means we're not, at least on the material platform. But in the spiritual world, actually no one is thinking about wanting to be the most famous. They simply want to serve Krishna more and more. That's where they get their satisfaction. So as Srila Bhakti Tirtha Swami was explaining, that's how a devotee gets his happiness, just relishing Krishna's pastimes in a humble serving mood. That happiness is far beyond any happiness in the material world, what to speak of the perverted happiness of pride or relishing one's position in this world. Krishna explains in the 15th chapter, verse 5, that he describes various items or qualities that enable one to surrender to the Supreme Personality of God. And the first one that he mentions is the freedom from false prestige. Actually, in the purport, Prabhupada talks about that quality more than any other, because he explains that one can't, if one is proud, one can't surrender to Krishna, one can't surrender to one's spiritual master. So all these qualities are connected, the desire for fame, desire for false prestige, envious mentality that bears these, or that brings forth these desires. So we have to get a taste for service. That's the only taste that will satisfy us. So if we envy others, we should serve them. Get a taste for serving them. That's so much higher than any other feeling we can have towards anyone. And A Vaishnava always tries to follow in the footsteps of great devotees who are known for not finding fault with anyone. So if we can chastise the mind when these thoughts come up, put those thoughts aside and think of all the wonderful qualities of a devotee, then that will free us from any negative feelings we might have towards others. So there's a lot we can say about this, but I'm sure my God brothers have much more realization than I do. So should I. Actually, I'm just preaching to myself, so. Well, when we associate with wonderful devotees, like the wonderful devotees that are here, when we associate with great devotees, that inspires us to develop their qualities. Just like I was reading Narottam Das Thakur's Partana. And he was, I forget the name of the particular song, but he was begging for the mercy of the great acharyas, begging for the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, the six Goswamis, and begging for the association, the continued association of the devotees. Without their mercy, we can't gain any good qualities. And to beg for their mercy, we have to have a little bit of humility to realize that we really, really need it. So when we're in the association of so many wonderful devotees, we can see how advanced they are and how much more advanced we need to become. So that is very inspiring. So the key is to continue in the association of wonderful devotees. Thank you. Any other comments? Thank you.
Krishna, I have a question. The question is, Virtual Master gives us instructions. We see Srila Bhaktisiddhanta gave Srila Prabhupada some instructions, and later on in his life he went west and established ISKCON. So we receive certain instructions from our spiritual master, but it may take some time for us to mature and develop spiritually to follow through with those instructions. Some of us find it difficult to fulfill those instructions. Could you say a few words in that respect?
Srila Prabhupada, from the first day he met his Guru Maharaj, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, dedicated his life and faithfully served his order at every moment. The specific order to spread the message of Lord Chaitanya all over the world, in Prabhupada's heart and in Prabhupada's life, he was always meditating and preparing to fulfill that order. It is not that at 69 years old when he left Vrindavan, it was a sudden change of heart to surrender to Gurudev. It was the ripened fruit of his love, his devotion, his compassion in preparing his life to do that. And that is a perfect disciple, one who faithfully prepares his or her life to fulfill the wish of the spiritual master. And Prabhupada did it in such a way, so wonderful, that every one of us have a chance to follow in his footsteps. In that sense, he was just married, just having child, most entangling phase of life for a responsible householder. But still, he was so eager to hear his Guru Maharaj, eager to serve his God brothers, God sisters, eager to serve the mission, and always contemplating, praying, and preparing. So to follow in his footsteps is our perfection. Srila Prabhupada's life was as such that he taught us everything through his example. What is actually the love, the real love between guru and disciple? Although Prabhupada wept in bitter separation when his Guru Maharaj departed from this world, and Anjala Dutta revealed his heart to Krishna, even so many years later, how he was feeling such deep love and separation from his Guru Maharaj. He told us on many occasions that there is never a time when I am not feeling the presence of my spiritual master. And when he was being honored and glorified for his incomparable success in establishing ISKCON and Harinam Sankirtan all over the world, tens of millions of books being distributed, Prabhupada, with all honesty and humility, would reply, "It is all the work of my Guru Maharaj." He prayed to be a puppet, an instrument, and he always saw himself in that way. Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj, following in Prabhupada's footsteps, he has always prayed in that way, to be a puppet, an instrument of Prabhupada's love in this world. In separation, always feeling the presence of his Guru Maharaj, by following his teachings and carrying out his mission. Despite whatever qualifications or disqualifications or whatever particular predicament we're in, that should be our aspiration. And let us pray to follow in the footsteps of such great souls and actually show real love for the spiritual master. Prabhupada has hit you over the head millions of times with his shoes. You have to take it to heart. We all have to take it to heart. His every word is his lotus feet on our heads. We have to all use our independent free will to take the will and the mission of Guru to heart. We have to put aside our stubborn tendencies and our egoistic conceptions and just do it. Just follow the regulative principles. Just take shelter of the holy name. Just try to serve the devotees, knowing that they are all representatives of Guru Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Haribu Maharaj, my name is Sankarshan Das. We are all very heavy in hearts for our Guru Maharaj leaving us. I could remember when Prabhupada was about to leave the body. The disciples were so much so deep in heart that they requested him to leave. And therefore they prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And they sent a representative to Prabhupada. And he said, Prabhupada, if we want you to leave, what would you say? And then Prabhupada sit down and say, But then he was not taking anything. I said, give me food to eat. And therefore, Prabhupada was giving some food to eat. And he stayed with them for some time. I had wanted to ask Guru Maharaj this question, but I wasn't given the chance. I wasn't given the chance to ask this question because of time. So, what I'm asking is that all the disciples of Pantheater and the well-wishers, I'm asking if we could send a representative to Guru Maharaj and tell him, Guru, if we want you to stay, what would you say? If you would agree with me. So, Maharajis, this is my request. What do you have to say about this? Thank you very much.
I didn't understand.
You're not understood the question.
I couldn't understand.
Did anyone understand the question?
Speak louder.
Are you asking that you want to ask their opinion on the opinion of my question, what I said? The opinion on what I said.
He wanted to know his opinion. What he wanted to know, he's asking, is if by having a representative go to Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj and request him to stay, what is your opinion about them asking that question or having Maharaj approach about that at this stage?
The disciples asking him to stay.
I don't think that you have to ask. It's a natural desire of a disciple that his spiritual master stays. You don't have to ask. He also knows. It's not that he does not know that you desire that he stays. But he's trying to explain in various ways that there are higher plans, higher decisions. And it's a loving struggle. Just like the way he expresses himself. He also wants to follow, of course, the higher orders. Lord Krishna's plan, Srila Prabhupada's plan. He certainly wants to obey. But at the same time, his affection and love for his disciples and followers is so strong that makes it difficult. So it is a loving struggle. We want him to stay, but Lord Krishna Prabhupada have perhaps a different plan. And eventually everybody has to surrender to that plan, however painful that might be, because we also have to accept the fact that even our own spiritual master belongs to Krishna. He is not our possession. Of course, we love him, we want him to stay, but we do not possess him. He is completely sold out to his spiritual master and to Krishna. So if the signals and symptoms are too obvious, then I feel we have to surrender to that plan. But I don't really see the point in formally asking him to stay. That's a natural wish and desire of the disciple. Just like, I just would like to share with you that also try to remember that we Prabhupada disciples, we were young devotees when Srila Prabhupada left. And I'm speaking of my spiritual master. I do not talk about the founder Acharya. That's a different category. That is available for everyone. Srila Prabhupada as founder Acharya is available. His teachings are there, his books are there, just like for us. I talk about my spiritual master. And I was a young devotee, 7 years in Krishna consciousness, which is nothing. And he left. And we had to deal with that. And don't think it was easy. It was difficult. But we had to accept, we surrendered to Lord Krishna's plan. And we tried to maintain the faith in Srila Prabhupada's instructions, personal instructions, and in his teachings. Just like one small example, when I joined Krishna consciousness, I didn't speak any English. Just one, two words, money and, what was it, money and women, I think, these two words. I didn't speak. And then I wrote a letter, someone translated to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, I don't speak any English. How can I? Because he instructed me in my initiation letter, read all my books. And I thought, that's difficult. I don't speak any English. How can I read your books? So I wrote Prabhupada, how shall I do? Srila Prabhupada simply replied, I order you to read all my books. And then he underlined all. And that's it. And I had to surrender. I just pulled out, I acquired a dictionary. And practically every word I had to look up. The, what is the now? I had to look up. Oh, the. D. D, der, das. Then supreme. Mamma mia, what is this now? Supreme. Every word I have to look up. So, very, very difficult. And still my English is not that perfect, but you know, I lectured at the Harvard University, you know, 2.5 hours, I give a lecture. And the professors appreciate it. I got away. I'm just trying to explain the importance of having faith in the instruction of Guru. It is not expected that it's easy. He gives difficult, and the most important instruction of all instructions is that the disciple is supposed to become fully Krishna conscious and return home back to Godhead. That's a lifelong meditation and practice. And if there are more personal instructions, it's the same. We have to meditate on it, take it very, very seriously. Just like in Russia, one common practice is that if you visit Russia, they will walk up to me up to you, many devotees, and they ask for blessings. Please give me your blessings. It's not that simple. You have to pull out a blessing stamp and put it on the forehead. Here you have my blessings. Just like Srila Prabhupada, he had so much faith and that it will be possible, that instruction Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave in every town and village. The others, many of his god brothers, did not believe it. They thought it's poetry. It was poetry. It's not prag. How is it possible to spread this Vaishnav culture all over the world? Every town and village. Prabhupada had his faith, and he even had debates with his own god brothers. He thought this must be possible. He said, oh, forget about it. But Prabhupada had this faith. It must be, and worked so hard. The blessings were not just. It's not a mystical process. Here you have the blessings and you can do everything nicely, successfully. We have to work hard, work. And Prabhupada gave that example in his own life, how much Prabhupada struggled to fulfill that order, to spread Krishna consciousness in all the English-speaking countries. And Prabhupada was such a ideal, exemplary disciple. He did not only fulfill that instruction, but he spread Krishna consciousness to even non-speaking, non-English-speaking countries. All over the world. And that's faith in the instruction of Guru. And this, what I believe, kept all of us Prabhupada's disciples alive. There's a strong faith, the determination to whatever instructions we receive from Prabhupada, it must be carried out this way or the other way. It has to be done. That's sincerity on part of the disciple. And then he will receive, on that basis, that attitude, he will receive blessings and success and everything. Even if no success is coming, he will be blessed because he tries so sincerely, so hard, to fulfill the order of his spiritual master. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I'd like to ask, how can we be satisfied or encouraged in the service to our spiritual master when many times it seems that the guru is unaware of the service we may be offering?
If I understand your question right, in other words, you want to feel that what you're offering is being accepted. Is that pretty much your question? How do you know what you're offering
is
being... How do you know
that the connection is being made?
You may know, you may not know, but one way of knowing is that when you feel satisfied by that service, if you're offering the service, one of the things that makes service pleasing is that when we put our heart and soul into it, we try our best to offer that service in such a way that it's pleasing to the person we're offering it, to the spiritual master, to the Lord. In that, that is the satisfaction. We may not feel completely satisfied if we somehow or other felt that I could have did better, or I could have did more, or I could have approached it with more devotion or with more thoughtfulness. That may cause some feelings of dissatisfaction. But the spiritual master is the representative of the Lord, and the Lord accepts the mood of the service and not so much the service itself. The service or the activity that we perform is an opportunity to offer our devotion, our love to Krishna through the spiritual master. And so as best as we try to create that mood or bring about that mood in our devotional life, then that's satisfying. And that's satisfying. And if we feel like we haven't done that, or if we more or less just did the service in order to get the service done, then there's the feeling of maybe dissatisfaction or wanting to do better the next time. So it's more or less the mood of devotion. And we were explaining this morning that devotional service should be done to please the object of who we're serving. So part of that is learning the instructions of the spiritual master, and then learning how to carry out those instructions in such a way that the spiritual master is pleased. Of course, now with the situation with Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj making himself or going more into an internal mood of devotion, it's a little difficult. But previously, to answer that question, you could ask. You could ask. Was my service pleasing? Was it all right? You could always ask. But now, as Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj explained, and as the previous acharyas explained, that when the spiritual master leaves, we are forced to go deeper. We're forced to become more responsible and more devotional in our service. We're forced. And then there's, of course, we can always go to other devotees, senior devotees, and ask them. So we have actually so much ways of understanding whether our service is pleasing or how we can increase the quality of our service, the quality of our devotion. If we just look around like that. Thank you.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I was in with my brother and his good recently in Dallas, and had the pleasure of hearing Giriraj Maharaj give a Bhagavatam class. And in that class, he made a statement. I was too shy to ask for elaboration. He said that we should not become the devotee of... We shouldn't become the devotee... Is it? Are you hearing? That we shouldn't become devotees of detachment itself. He was in passing. He was giving Bhagavatam class. I don't remember the verse or what connection he said it in. But it kind of comes up in our dealings among devotees and having sadhu sangha that, and I also heard, I was in Alachua one time and hearing Ananda Manjari also ask about the same thing, that sometimes detachment comes across as selfishness. And I wondered whether you could speak on that if it's relevant.
Artificial renunciation makes the heart hard. A detachment. Sometimes devotees, if they did not experience the love of another devotee who reached out to them when they were in trouble, when they needed that affection very badly and they did not get it, then they may become bitter. And they may blame the institution. They may blame some material circumstances. They may blame relatives. They may blame communities as insensitive. And therefore, they're insensitive with me. I will detach myself from them. Or they are forcing me to be detached from them. I'm a householder. I have to be detached. The circumstances are forcing me to be detached. I have... responsibilities. I have a child. I have a spouse. I have to work for them. And I don't feel inspired to be with them. So that is a kind of a bitter detachment. But like our Sridhar Maharaj used to love to say, there is no utility in negativity. One should always see that an antarmukha shishya, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur refers to it in Amnyaya Sutra, internally facing disciple, thinks, not a blade of grass moves without Krishna's will. There must be some reason why he has forced me into such circumstances. It must be for my purification. I must deserve it. Or, as Brahmaji says, I deserve much more. If Krishna has minimized it. I deserve much more than this. So one should be attached to what? To what the spiritual masters have ordered, the foundation of sadhana, chanting the holy name, the association of devotees, that we can never be detached from. Huh? Yagya dana tapa karma natyagyam karyameva tat. Yagya dana tapaschaiva pavanani maneshanam. 18.5. Acts of sacrifice, austerity, and charity must never be given up. They purify even the great souls. So we must never be detached from the principles of sadhana bhakti and ultimately the principles of raga bhakti. But what is our detachment? Anukulyasya sankalpa. If it is favorable for Krishna, pratikulya vibarjana. If it is pratikul, if it is not, that is what we're detached from. Asat sanga tyaga evaishnavachar. Asat, that which is temporary, that which will die with the material world. That is what we're detached from. That indifference, aniha, of a Vaishnava, the 26 qualities, that detachment is positive. They're not bitter. They're not impersonal. It is a blissful detachment. Vrindavan life is a blissful detachment. There is a distinction between blissful detachment and a bitter detachment. The association of the devotees is our blessing. We must never give that up. Harinam, Bhagavatam, Tulsi, Paramahansa Sadhu Sangha, these are how we get Krishna. We can never give that up. To give that up means to give up our life. We are detached from that which takes us away from Krishna. That we're detached from. And if you see a devotee that is detached due to bitterness, then you must say, you know, can I do something to help you understand the pain so that you may see Krishna in the pain? That you may see Krishna in your pain. And so you may again. Sometimes it just takes a little consideration, a little affection to bring a god brother or a god sister that has gone off the path due to worldly mindedness. Huh? As Bhagavatam says, Navai jano jati kathankranagrajan mukunda sev anvayada anga samsmritim smarana mukunda angri upahuganang punar vihatamuch chen na rasagraho jana. A devotee may fall down due to worldly mindedness in North America, Europe, or even in the land of the Dhammas without a proper devotional consciousness can cause one to fall down. But they don't undergo, a devotee does not undergo material existence like the karmis, this Bhagavatam Shloka says. This is 1st Canto, chapter 5, verse number 19. But one who has tasted the nectar of Krishna consciousness, the kirtans, the prasadam, like Maharaj was talking about, even the prasadam with Gunagrahi Maharaj in Argentina was enlivening. And it fueled the Krishna katha, like that. Huh? Once one has tasted the sweetness of Vaishnava Sangha, you can never give that up. It haunts you like a ghost. Huh? Na rasagraho jana. Vihatam vichchen na rasagraho jana. The example was the Gurukulis, I remember, in 1991. There was so much pain, disgust. And one of them said, you know, they're 20, 23, working for TWA. They said like that. You know, we chant 8 rounds, you know. And sometimes they get on our case, we're a little loose. At least we didn't eat meat half our life like you guys, they said. And that's what they said. And another thing they said, which was interesting, was, but we can't forget Krishna. We may try to enjoy our senses in North America. Something, you know, sowing our wild oats. But it's like a ghost. You know, we were in Gurukula, we were with the kirtan. You know, we can't forget this thing. This is like hunting us like a ghost. Yes. So what it means when somebody's in pain because they were abused or they were neglected, then you have to say, maybe they were a little bit impersonal, but I'm not going to do that to you. And when you give that love to them, then it makes them feel that now it's time to reciprocate now. Then you become a Kripa Patra. To whatever extent you can do it, you become a Kripa Patra. You become a holding mercy for the mercy of another devotee. Then you can become compassion. Your heart will always remain hard until you receive that love from that devotee. Then you can try to, again, take up your vows. Again, take chant. You're always welcome, Prabhu. Please come to the temple. Again, chant. Please come to the kirtan. Please come. You're always welcome. Please come. Invite them, invite them, and invite them. And if you love them so much, they will be pulled by the magnet of your love. They may have some bitterness. They may come again. We must never give up loving. Then the bitterness of, you know, the detachment due to pain, that can be mitigated to some extent. Hare Krishna.
We have one last question. One last question.
Hari Bol, please accept my humble obeisances, Maharajas. When Bhaktivedanta Swami prayed his special prayer to Srila Prabhupada, he is, during that period, he shared the areas that he was very sad about, and one of the areas is the state of ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada's movement, the state it is in today, and that was part of his prayer, that he could become a more powerful change agent in another state. You are the first generation of Srila Prabhupada's mission in the West. My question and concern is, and it's based on Bhaktivedanta Swami's sadness, what is there any plans for the next generation? Is the next generation being prepared to carry on the mission, especially when Kali Yuga is in a state that it's in? So you just leave and there not be anyone to carry on the mission from generation to generation.
There's not anyone to carry on from generation to generation. And she's making an assumption also. The question's kind of rhetorical. It's like she's assuming.
When I think of the next generation of devotees, I think about the Gurukulis. I also think about the disciples of Srila Prabhupada's disciples. You so nicely talked about the Gurukulis, Maharaj. I see so many wonderful young devotees becoming empowered in Krishna consciousness that it gives me so much faith that Prabhupada's movement is going on nicely. I remember the last time I was in America, I was in Houston. And in the 1980s, I used to have a little festival party. We used to go out to the Houston Zoo. And we'd have bhajans and distribute books and distribute prasadam. It's very, very enlivening. And we were making devotees, although the Houston Temple was predominantly Indian. Still, some Western devotees were coming forward. And that was giving us a lot of faith. And recently when I went to Houston, I heard that there were a group of devotees preaching at the Houston Zoo, again, doing that very same festival. And when I went there, because I was very enlivened by that, it hadn't happened for so many years, they were all young Indians in their 20s. Some were married, some weren't. They're young professionals or still going to college. And I was seeing how, this is just one example, I was just seeing how they had become identified so much with Prabhupada's movement that unlike many of their parents who were stuck in more of a cultural niche, their presentation, their mood was very cross-cultural. Same as Srila Prabhupada's mood. And they were approaching every type of individual possible. And these were the young, new generation of devotees. And because I was seeing this amongst the Indian community, and everywhere I go in America, I see this amongst the Indian community. Now, sometimes the American devotees are criticized for just preaching amongst the Hindus because it's the easiest thing, because they're already coming to the temple. But then when you look at their children and how nicely their children are advancing and spreading Krishna consciousness, this can give you such great faith that our movement is continuing very, very nicely. That's just one example. And personally, I see how my godbrothers are so nicely training their young disciples in Krishna consciousness. How Srila Bhakti Tirtha Swami is also training his young disciples and older disciples in Krishna consciousness. That's the next generation. The next generation is also the Gurukulis. Actually, in many yatras all over the world, they don't have any Gurukulis because they're young yatras. They're just developing. I know in Argentina, we don't have any Gurukulis. There's never been a Gurukul. It's a young yatra. We were banned from the country and then recently reinstated. So when you think about the next generation in many parts of the world, you think about the disciples of Prabhupada's disciples. And they're spreading Krishna consciousness like anything. I'm not sure if that exactly answers your question. It seems like you have some doubts as to whether things will be able to go on nicely. If you're addressing specifically Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj's concern about the Gurukulis, you were. No. Okay. I think we have so much to learn and be inspired by Maharaj's compassion. We invited him down to Argentina, and he came a couple of times. He has some very nice disciples down there. And I guess he's did this all over the world, but in addition to them agreeing to follow the four regulative principles and chant 16 rounds, he also had them agree to be especially concerned about the treatment of the women and the children. So this mood of compassion is very, very real. It characterizes a Vaishnava, actually. You can see the sufferings of others and feel really, really concerned about that. And I think if we do feel this genuine concern for our children and make every possible arrangement possible for them, then they will take a very great role in Srila Prabhupada's movement, either sooner or later.
Hare Krishna. So we have to end here. So all the devotees are invited to go downstairs and take prasadam. And we'd like to thank all their holinesses for their incredible, enlightening sharing of their realizations of Krishna consciousness. His Holiness, Srila Radhanath Maharaj K. His Holiness, Guna Grahi Swami K.
His Holiness Bhaktivinoda Bhava Swami Ki, Sri Chandamali Maharaj Ki, Bhakti Madhav Maharaj Ki.
One quick announcement, Haribol devotees. I've been asked to tell the devotees that the Srila Prabhupada disciples, the non-sannyasis, the Srila Prabhupada disciples, there is a special table downstairs. You can have your prasadam at a special table downstairs. But the sannyasis.